Imagine waking up one day to find yourself caught between two worlds, belonging fully to neither, yet carrying pieces of both inside you. This is the delicate territory Jhumpa Lahiri explores in Interpreter of Maladies, her Pulitzer Prize-winning collection that sold over 15 million copies worldwide. These 9 stories capture the peculiar loneliness of cultural displacement with such precision that they feel like emotional x-rays, revealing what lies beneath the surface of ordinary lives. The collection's brilliance lies in how it transforms specific Indian and Indian American experiences into universal meditations on human connection. Whether portraying a couple whose marriage crumbles after a stillbirth or an elderly refugee who loses her tenuous place in society, these stories reveal how easily we can become strangers to ourselves and others when uprooted from familiar ground. In A Temporary Matter, scheduled electrical outages become the catalyst for a marriage's final unraveling. Shobha and Shukumar, grieving their stillborn son, share painful truths only in darkness. Their candlelit confessions, his tearing out a photo of another woman, her dislike of his only published poem, reveal deeper disconnections. Their brief reconnection ironically leads to separation. Just as the electrical repairs finish early, Shobha announces she's moving out. The darkness that enabled honesty ends precisely as their relationship reaches its breaking point. The emotional climax comes when Shukumar reveals the secret he'd sworn to keep, that he had held their baby boy before cremation, knowledge Shobha desperately wanted but thought impossible. As they weep together for the things they now knew, we witness how grief can simultaneously unite and divide. Through 10-year-old Lilia's innocent observations in When Mr. Prasada Came to Dine, we experience the dissonance of watching international tragedy unfold from American comfort. Mr. Prasada, a Pakistani botanist studying New England foliage, visits Lilia's family nightly to watch news about the 1971 Bangladesh Liberation War threatening his wife and 7 daughters back home. His elegant appearance, the black fez secured with bobby pins, the wool coat smelling of limes, contrasts with his constant anxiety. The pocket watch he sets to Dhaka time symbolizes his emotional tether to a home 11 times away. Lilia's awareness manifests in her nightly ritual with Mr. Prasada's candies, storing them in a sandalwood box and eating them while praying for his family's safety. This childlike attempt to participate in a crisis she barely comprehends shows how children absorb adult suffering. The Halloween pumpkin becomes symbolic when news from Dhaka causes Mr. Prasada's hand to slip, creating an expression of placid astonishment on the jack-o'-lantern, capturing the juxtaposition of American traditions against international tragedy. The collection's title story examines cross-cultural misinterpretation through Mr. Kapasi, a tour guide and medical interpreter, and Mrs. Das, an Indian-American tourist visiting temples with her disengaged family. Their encounter highlights the gap between fantasy and reality in cross-cultural connections. Mr. Kapasi's attraction stems from misconceptions. He daydreams about corresponding with Mrs. Das, imagining himself as an interpreter between nations, while estimating her first letter should arrive in 6 weeks, revealing his romanticized view of America gleaned only through television. The dynamic shifts when Mrs. Das confesses that her son Bobby was conceived during an affair with her husband's friend. Her 8-year secret reveals both her unhappiness and misunderstanding of Mr. Kapasi's role. She hopes she can interpret her guilt like a medical symptom and offer some remedy. His response, asking if she feels pain or guilt, signals his disillusionment. Offended that she applies his interpreter skills to her trivial confession, he recognizes their connection's emptiness. Their moment of potential intimacy dissolves into mutual disappointment, demonstrating how easily superficial understanding is mistaken for genuine connection. A Real Derwan reveals how tenuous belonging can be for those on society's margins. Bori Ma, a 64-year-old refugee, serves as unofficial doorkeeper in a dilapidated Calcutta apartment building, her position existing in a liminal space between reality and fabrication. The building's increasing prosperity triggers her downfall. After Mr. Dalal installs two basins, other residents begin renovations, disrupting Bori Ma's routine. With workers constantly coming and going, she begins wandering the streets, leaving her post unattended. When both her savings and the communal basin are stolen, she becomes the scapegoat. Despite her protests, "Believe me, I did not inform the robbers," residents blame her absence and evict her, throwing her belongings into the alley. Mr. Chatterjee's declaration that what a building like this needs is a real Durwan delivers the final blow, suggesting her years of service count for nothing without official status. Her departure with only her broom, shaking her empty sari, symbolizes how the marginalized can be stripped of both possessions and identity when they no longer serve a community's needs. Mrs. Sens explores dislocation through the relationship between 11-year-old Elliot and his after-school caretaker. Mrs. Sens' apartment exists as a carefully maintained Indian enclave. Fabric-covered electronics, positioned carpets, and beautiful saris representing her resistance to assimilation. Her semicircular blade becomes a powerful symbol of cultural continuity. Brought from India, this tool connects her to home through practiced motions while seated on newspapers. Her description of women gathering on rooftops with similar blades for wedding preparations reveals what she misses most: community and shared purpose. Mrs. Sen's driving lessons represent her failed attempts at assimilation. Her terror on the road, "Why will not anybody slow down?" contrasts with Elliot's mother's effortless navigation. Driving becomes a metaphor for cultural adaptation, her inability symbolizing fundamental displacement. Two things bring Mrs. Sen's joy: letters from India and fresh fish. Both represent authentic connections to home, aerograms providing news of family, while fish allows her to prepare traditional Bengali dishes. Her passionate reaction to letters reveals her homesickness in ways words cannot express. The collection concludes with The Third and Final Continent, offering a hopeful perspective on immigration. The narrator journeys from India to London and America with minimal resources, coinciding with the moon landing, a metaphor for his own leap into unfamiliar territory. The story centers on his relationship with Mrs. Croft, his 103-year-old landlady whose rigid routines include demanding he say "splendid" about the moon landing. Despite differences, they develop mutual respect through small kindnesses. When his arranged wife Mala arrives, they remain strangers despite their marriage. Their breakthrough occurs when Mrs. Croft declares Mala a perfect lady, prompting the couple's first genuine smile, marking when the distance between Mala and me began to lessen. These stories transcend cultural boundaries by focusing on universal experiences: grief, loneliness, belonging, and connecting across differences. Lahiri shows that while cultural displacement creates unique challenges, the need for understanding remains constant. These characters remind us that we all interpret each other imperfectly, yet moments of breakthrough understanding, like Mrs. Croft validating Mala or Lilia praying for a distant stranger, reveal possibilities for bridging our divisions through shared humanity.